Grace and peace are yours in abundance, in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us today comes from the Gospel. We heard from the fifth chapter of Matthew, a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus speaks and says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This is God's word. The world is a dark place in which everything is falling apart. That's probably not the most inspiring way to begin a sermon, but it's true. You don't have to like it. In fact, you shouldn't. You don't even have to be a religious person to acknowledge the truth of it. Just look at the human body, or try to maintain a house or a church building, right, trustees? Attempt to keep a relationship strong, and you'll see how much work it takes just to hold things together. And with all of our best efforts, things still degrade and decay. And as for darkness, do I really need to build a case for that? I don't think anyone is under the illusion that human beings are becoming more moral or more considerate or more concerned with doing what is right. It's a dark place in which things are falling apart. I hope that you agree that that is true, and I hope you will agree that this is equally true. Knowing that this is the case, that the world is dark and things fall apart, Jesus has spoken a solution into the world. And believe it or not, the solution involves you. Last week, I described Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as his inaugural address. What was being inaugurated? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, a spiritual reality in which God is working to repair his world. Jesus has come to counteract the forces of darkness and disintegration. A new light is breaking into the world, and Jesus is bringing it. But here's the twist. When you receive the light of Christ, when you believe the gospel, you also reflect it. When you trust that Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection saves you from eternal death, God turns around and injects you into a culture that is dying. For what purpose? To hold it together. To preserve it. To rebuild it. The solution to a dark and decrepit world involves you. Did you hear him? Jesus says, "You are salt. And you are light." Now, to call a human being salt and light is obviously a metaphor. Jesus is making a vivid comparison in a way that invites you and me to explore it, look at it from different angles. So, one thing to be said about salt is that it served as a preservative. In the ancient world, as you know, there were no freezers back then. So rubbing salt into meat, for example, would slow the rate of decomposition. Life has more obvious value, maybe, but it's still good for us to remember that in the ancient world, well, it was far darker than our world is today. Light is the way in which we see everything else, and torches, candles, and oil lamps were your nighttime options back then. And that's sort of the raw material of this metaphor. So what is Jesus trying to say by making this comparison? How are you salt and light? Well, one way to think of it is that salt and light expose the decay and darkness of this world. And this often happens just by you, as a follower of Jesus, showing up. Let me give you kind of a tongue-in-cheek example, but it really does make the point. For a number of years, my dad and I would go to Myrtle Beach to go golfing. As a twosome, we were almost always paired up with two other golfers to play the course. And in that situation, you're meeting someone brand new. So you sort of give a little introduction, who you are, where you're from, then it's off to the first tee. And it's golf. So people, usually guys, hit their shots and then say things. Phrases you would not say in front of your mother. In combinations you never thought of before. And then on about the third or fourth or fifth hole, they ask, "So what do you guys do?" And my dad, he loved this. He would say, "I'm a pastor, and my son is studying to be one." And you would see this look on their face that was hard to describe. But after the next bad shot, "Oh, rats." And it was that way for the rest of the round. We're not trying to be speech police, but do you see? When you are salt and light, and people know that you're salt and light, it exposes things. Your presence can reveal where somebody else's heart is at, and you don't have to say a word. But then, when you begin to act in a Christ-like way, that turns things up several notches. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." Now, what's really illuminating is that the word Jesus uses for good, when he says good deeds, is a deliberate choice. Now, there was one word in Greek, agathos, that means good, good in quality, thumbs up. But he used a different word. That word was kalos, which means actually beautiful. So, when Jesus says this, he really says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your beautiful deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." Are you reflecting the light of Jesus in a way that could be described as beautiful? Don't immediately say no. You may be doing it without even realizing it. After all, you're just reflecting the light that's already coming into your life. Another thing that salt and light do is they bring joy. They bring joy. Salt was not only a preservative in the ancient world, it was a seasoning. The same is true today. Salt is still popular because it brings flavor to life. And there is great joy in light as well. Though you and I have seen them thousands of times, we still stop to watch a sunrise or a sunset. At Christmas time, we put lights everywhere we can stick them because of the joy it brings. So it follows that a disciple of Jesus brings a note of joy into every situation. A believer in Jesus knows that the greatest victory has already been won, and that gives you a solid confidence, a steadiness, an ability to find the good and celebrate it. Salt and light bring joy. And last, if you are salt and light, you are part of something bigger than yourself. We are working together to carry out beautiful deeds that will glorify the Father. Jesus said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You need more than one person to make a city. Likewise, you need more than a single grain of salt to make a difference. But a handful of salt, a cup of salt, now you're going to see results, whether that's flavoring, whether that's preserving something. In other words, Jesus is talking to us as a group. There's no doubt we affect our surroundings on our own. That's true. But Jesus is addressing us here as a community. And he's saying, together you are salt. Together you are light. Together you are seasoning and preserving. Together you are reflecting the truth of Jesus. Together, do beautiful things that glorify our Heavenly Father. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true light of the world, who beamed that light into our world through his sacrifice on the cross and his triumphant resurrection from the dead. As those who believe this good news, that he did it for us, we have the privilege of reflecting that light into the lives of others around us. We humbly pray that our light would reflect yours in a way that is true, in a way that is meaningful and faithful, so that others may see and know of your healing love. Lord, help us today as we approach your altar, that we may taste and see that you are good, and that we may have that same salt in ourselves, that we may preserve and bring flavor, the flavor of forgiveness, the flavor of mercy and love into our culture, into our world. Lord, make our deeds beautiful as they reflect your sacrifice and your deep love for each of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.